This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, on the air every week with our one-hour program. Don't forget the podcasts as well. You can find on the Apple Podcast app or Spotify or Stitcher or Blog Talk, TalkStream Live, all of these places, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the American Family Farmer, which is a focus for all of us who are farmers and for the people who, the locavores who use our products. This is a combination of focus on the farm, families, and food. So the most recent of our podcasts begins with the disappointing news that farmers are upset that much of the president's farm subsidies went to convicted felons and others who have committed fraud. It's really outrageous. It just is what went on with that class action lawsuit against the government by farmer organizations. Pretty appropriate here. Also in the most recent podcast, we talk about this past year's Christmas tree farm and farmers, I guess, plural, because of what has gone on, how they've really done a lot of the Christmas tree breeding, if you can call it that. The hybridization has netted it to be, it becomes a pretty profitable business. Good for them. Congratulations. All right, check out our podcast, AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. In the news department this week, this has been a week to remember because it's the first Regenerative Food and Farming Week, as celebrated by the people from the regenerative, I can't even say that well, the regenerative farming groups that are together, the Organic Consumer Association, that group especially. This week, the highlight of Regenerative Food and Farming Week is to raise public awareness among those of us who are out there that want to push the message of how dangerous GMO food is, and for those who didn't realize that genetically modified organisms are in pretty much everything. So during this week, you've probably seen a lot of attention, sometimes inside stores, outside grocery stores, online, instructing you on how to eat healthier and to get better and more pure your food supports. The proponents and the GMO factories claim that genetic engineering is safe and beneficial and that it advances the agricultural industry. Well, I have some friends that are using GMO seeds, and they have sold more because they can grow more. But at what expense? They don't realize, and they're not thinking about the value of their soil and what the people who are eating this stuff are doing to their bodies. It's really, they do ensure global food supply and sustainability for those who are in the big, as I said, the big active family farms. I'm sorry, the big active family, the big family, because family is part of our conversation. The big agri-industries are what, they're the ones who are genetically engineering the food. It is not safe. It is not beneficial technology. It certainly isn't what it's touted to be. So that's something to be aware of this week. I just think that more and more people are getting more to be aware of this, and it's good. All right. And as a matter of fact, the Organic Consumer Association sales force says that a portion of sales of everything this week that's being sold, they're going to donate $3 for anything that's over, I think, $100. So 3% is going to a fund to help make people aware of the vagaries of this kind of farming. All right, so I'm behind that. One of the other things that this week in terms of news, when we're looking at the voting that's going on, a lot of the farm states have now, at least as far as the Democrats are concerned, weighed in. And so the people who are on the farm or people who are farm supporters want to know which group of farmers holds the key, not only to the primaries, but to the election in November. And I believe it's the people milking cows. Somebody that is, hopefully farmer-friendly is going to be in the White House because the current resident is not. A lot of articles have been written in the last 3 or 4 years taking the temperature of voters in flyover counties. It's gone back and forth, it really has. But the thing that's capped it more than anything else, I think, in terms of farmers, is what's happened on the American dairy front. The Dairy Farmers of America, the folks at Suiza and Dean Foods, all these companies, Borden's going bankrupt, farmers going bankrupt. Do you realize that so far this year, 634 American dairy farmers have committed suicide, and the coronavirus is contributing to all of this in a rather vague way? You know, it's affecting everything, and people don't want to go into the stores and buy the milk, or they don't want to come to the farm and buy milk. It's very, very interesting. But I maintain that the voters in California, Wisconsin, New York, Idaho, and Texas, who are farmers, are not going to support Trump. That's my feeling about it, and it looks like that's what's going on in some of these farm states when you look at the results of the elections from the past couple of weeks. It's 13 past the hour. A focus on the family farmer and the farmer markets coming up next here on this week's American Family Farmer.
Hey, Greg, I'm so sorry to hear about your brother's heart attack.
Thanks. He's okay now, but it really got me thinking about my family. You know, could my wife still pay our mortgage if I had a heart problem? Or could my kids still go to college?
Man, that is really scary. Yeah, you should call my life insurance agent at Health IQ. When I got life insurance for my family last year, they saved me 41% versus any other company I looked at.
41%? That's huge.
Yep. Health IQ starts by shopping everyone with the top 30 life insurance carriers to make sure they can get the lowest retail rate. Then they apply their exclusive healthy lifestyle savings, which can save you up to 41%. I literally got $1 million in coverage for my family for just $36 a month.
Just $36 a month?
Yep. You should check it out at healthiq.com/easy.
To save that much money, I'm going to call them right now. What's that link again? healthiq.com/easy?
Yep. healthiq.com/easy.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Joel Streed. If you could protect your children now from a potential cancer later in life, would you? HPV, or the human papillomavirus, is nearly universal.
Essentially, every sexually active person in the U.S. will be infected with this virus.
While most infections will resolve on their own, Dr. Gregory Poland says,
almost all of the oral cancers are caused by HPV. Almost all of the cervical cancers, vaginal cancers, anal cancers, penile cancers, these are preventable.
Preventable with a highly effective vaccine. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends 2 doses of the HPV vaccine for 11 and 12-year-old boys and girls. The point is to immunize and protect children before they become sexually active. For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
This is the American Family Farmer. Today our focus is on farmers markets. This has been something over the years that we've done this program. There have been a lot of people on who have either been interested in starting farmers markets, they want to know how to do it, or they've done it and they've been successful, or they've done it and they've been unsuccessful. So today we focus on a lady who's running a very successful market. My alter ego community is Santa Monica. Most of you know that I live in the wintertime on the West Coast, and during the farm period on the East Coast, I'm on my farm in Massachusetts. So I took note when visiting, I like the Santa Monica farmers markets. There are in Los Angeles County tons of farmers markets, and most of them are pretty good. As a matter of fact, I think the farmers markets out there are better than most of them that I've encountered or even participated in as a farmer here on the East Coast. There's something about, I don't know, the liveliness, the activity, number of people, maybe it's the weather, I don't know, a whole combination of things. I want to find out what the secrets are, so I invited Jody May, who runs the Santa Monica Farmers Market. Jody has her full-time job, sort of the curator. You like that title, Jody? You're the curator of the Santa Monica Farmers Market. I kind of like that.
I do like that.
All right. So now you can put that on your card, curator of the Farmers Market. So Jody and I were talking a couple of weeks ago when I was at the market about, you know, what it takes. Most people, as in many circumstances, when you go into an organization or you experience something, you don't get or put together what goes on behind the scenes. And as this program is supposed to be instructive, even though our focus is on the family, on food, on the farm, this is a way for farmers to learn. If you're going to create your own, some farmers have their own farmers market where they bring in people in their community to sell their wares. But this is a highly populated urban setting, and the farmers come, I think, from, most of them come from quite a ways away, do they not, to bring their produce to your market, Jody?
That is absolutely correct, and I love your focus on the farm and the family, and that's actually our focus as well. And we have farmers that come, drive, you know, 4 or 5 hours several times a week to Los Angeles from all parts of California to participate in the farmers markets here.
How do you decide, as the operator, the director, who is good, who's not, the right people, the right mix? Help people who are listening who may want to know how to do it, how you figure what the right mix is.
Sure. It's a complex sort of equation. And, you know, if you have an established market like we do, you already have a really good selection of products. And so we look at the existing products within the market and see if there's anything missing. We get a lot of applicants throughout the year, so we unfortunately have to turn many of them away. But we really want to be mindful of what the market can bear and not being overly duplicative, therefore cutting into the profitability of farmers that are already participating in the market. So at this point, as an established market, we're looking at bringing in things that are highly unique. So, for example, I have many farmers that grow row crops, strawberries, spinach, lettuce, row crops. I have many farmers who grow tree fruit. I have many farmers who have meat, actually, ranchers and cheese. What is missing right now is mushrooms and papayas. And so we're working with a new farmer, actually, who grows the product in California, in Carpinteria, and we'll be bringing in a mushroom and papaya grower this weekend.
Does it have to be that a person who participates with you comes from California? If somebody came to you from Arizona or some other place, wanted to bring their wares in, would you say, yeah, we need that? Or does this have to be, and I ask the question because I think a lot of people bring in, at least here in the Northeast, a lot of people bring in things that are not necessarily local, and I'm not even sure that they are actual farmers. Like, we have certain kinds of popcorn that show up in the farmer's market, one of the farmer's markets that I do here, and I don't know if that's particularly legit or not. So I guess the question is, back to where and how much?
Sure, absolutely. Great question. So in the state of California, the farmers markets are actually overseen and regulated by the California Department of Agriculture, and the county inspectors come to inspect the farmers markets. Now, excuse me, it is different in every state, right? So California has very strict regulation. The regulations require that any certified farmers market, different than certified organic, must have California farmers. We cannot bring in produce, shelled nuts, meats, etc., from outside of California. They have to be California grown and sold to you by the farmer. So not only by the farmer, but someone in California can't go buy produce and resell it at a certified farmer's market.
Ah, that's a very good distinction, because I think that happens a lot. People buy stuff, they bring it in, and then they resell it, and the legitimacy or the authenticity of it is kind of wasted or gone, or it becomes corrupt if you're really trying to do something that gives people. See, one of the problems is, and I wonder whether you feel it this way, and I want you to think about it for a second, then I'll get an answer from you, the idea of what people know. How sophisticated are people of the buyer? You have thousands of people that come to that market every week. How sophisticated are they as to knowing not just what they want, but what they're getting? Let's address that in a moment. Conversation with Jody Lowe, who runs the Santa Monica Farmers Market here on the American Family Farmer.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down. Baby, take my arm, I ain't hearing nothing.
Back to the focus on the Santa Monica Farmers Market as a good example of farmers markets and how to run them. A successful one, Santa Monica, California, led by Jody Lowe and her crew, has been in existence for a long time, very popular. Most of the farmers markets have come of age, if you will, in Southern California. So I asked Jody to think about and then explain what it is that her clients, you have thousands and thousands of people come through there every week, and thousands, I'm going to guess, go to many of the L.A. County farmers markets. So how sophisticated is their knowledge when it comes to what they know and what they want, Jody?
Yeah, you know, I think as with anything, there's a spectrum. You have the diehard farmers market customer who buys into the philosophy of farmers market, direct from farmer to consumer, fresh, nutritious produce. They want to have a particular lifestyle, and then they may also enjoy the ancillary, you know, some of our markets, you talked about popcorn, have this ancillary section called the community event section, and that we try to align that as best we can with both our organizational goals, but also with supporting the farmers. So, for example, the prepared foods, we're looking at, are they sourcing the ingredients that go into the prepared foods from the farmers and showcasing farmers? And so, so you have this spectrum of customers that understand that nuance and detail, and that seek out that information, just like you have a spectrum of, you know, folks that are involved or not involved in politics. And then you have the folks that, you know, maybe walking by or may live in the neighborhood and, you know, hear the music that we have at the farmers market, or they saw something in the local paper about an activity that we're having or a special event. So, for example, to attract this customer base that isn't necessarily a farmers market diehard, we have seasonal activities. We have an Easter egg hunt coming up, so that's going to bring out a lot of families. Mm-hmm. But what we do is at the Santa Monica markets, is that once they're there, we really want to talk to them about why we exist. We want to have activities around farming so that when they're there, it's the light bulb can come on and we can turn them into a regular customer and supporting the local economy and the local farmers, keeping land in agriculture, and, you know, really supporting those smaller family farms.
Yeah, that's very important. So a couple of things related to that, and you mentioned farms, and I forgot to mention as we get started that you actually have, what, four or five of these farmers markets different days of the week in Santa Monica, different places around town, right?
That's correct. There's over 125 farmers markets in Los Angeles County, which is the largest concentration of farmers markets in any county in California. And in Santa Monica, we are government-run markets, which is also very different than the vast majority of markets in the state, which are run by nonprofits. So we're run by the city of Santa Monica, and we have four weekly farmers markets.
Wow. And that means you have to have many of the people that are displaying their farm products, are they the same from market to market, or do you vary it, or do you have to vary it, or do you have to rely on some people to be there every day?
Well, that comes back sort of to your curation question. You know, we have farmers that attend all four markets. We have farmers that just attend one. And so as with any business, you want to have some continuity for the business and for customers to recognize the wares at the market. And then you want to have something new and exciting. People always want to try something new. And
right.
So you want to be able to differentiate yourself not only from all of the other 125 farmers markets in Los Angeles, but even within our system of four in the 8 square miles that Santa Monica is,
mm-hmm.
You know, we want to cater to that particular neighborhood and bring something unique so that folks visit all of our markets, not just one.
All right, I want to talk about food availability versus food that's prepared that folks may get at the various markets. Jody Lowe is here with us. She directs the Santa Monica Farmers Markets. Here on this week's American Family Farmer, I'm Doug Steffen.
Mom, delivery!
You've been loading up on things from Walmart?
Yeah, I used my new Capital One Walmart Rewards card. It earns unlimited 5% back on everything I buy from Walmart online.
Say what?
5% back.
Say what?
5% back.
Say what now?
5% back.
With what?
The Capital One Walmart Rewards card. Earn unlimited rewards, including 5% back at Walmart online on top of Walmart's everyday low prices. What's in your wallet?
Terms and exclusions apply. Capital One USA N.A.
Hey guys, it's Mock and Daisy from the Chicks on the Right. We have a brand new podcast, Mock and Daisy's Common Sense Cast. Every week we talk about the issues that matter to us and matter to you too. Everything from parenting and our families to the dangers of social media and the ridiculous trends it's created, like gender reveal parties and promposals. It's a little bit of everything, because if we really want to make America great again, we need to start in our own homes. Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening on the Apple Podcast app or your favorite podcasting platform.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalents, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump announcing during an address to the nation last night on the coronavirus that he is suspending all travel from Europe for 30 days beginning tomorrow, with the exception of the United Kingdom. This morning, Vice President Mike Pence says the ban will protect those in the country who are more susceptible to that virus.
It does not, as we look at global data, present as much a threat to younger Americans, but for senior citizens, it represents a threat of very serious consequences.
Last night, the president promised financial relief for those infected or in quarantine, and he's calling on Congress to provide tax relief, defer tax payments, and help fund small business loans for businesses affected.
Hours after being sentenced to 23 years in prison on rape and sexual assault charges, Harvey Weinstein is back in a New York hospital complaining of chest pains. And this is USA Radio News.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Election, trade war, what in the world is the world coming to, and how will it affect your retirement? Fisher Investments has helped thousands of investors navigate all kinds of news and market conditions. Is your portfolio prepared? If you have $500,000 or more, call for Fisher's insightful free guide, The Stock Market Outlook, and learn how the market might impact your retirement this year. Call 1-800-379-4442. 1-800-379-4442.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring to turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake of money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they
Jody Lowe is here. I'm Doug Steffen. She's joined me from Santa Monica, California. A great example, I think, because I shop it every week. So maybe that's why I think it's a good market. There are a lot of different things there. One of the things I wanted you to explain, because we're trying to help people, farmers and those who might set up a farmer's market, with good ideas about what's successful there, what makes it successful. The food that's available, i.e. the produce, whether it be the meat, whether it's fish, whether it's fruit, vegetables, nuts, all of that sort of thing is available from locally sourced suppliers and farmers. But then there are the people who are there. There are three or four different vendors who will actually prepare food. The morning that you and I sat down to breakfast, I had a yummy mushroom crepe that had been cooked by one of the folks that's in there. And there are three or four other folks who come to make vegetable or whatever kind of food that you want, eggs. And I wonder, first, how you decide who those people, what's customer preference going to be, and do those things all have to be locally sourced as well? Whatever they're cooking for the patrons, does that have to be California grown as well?
Sure. In an ideal world, yes. We would love to have the prepared food sourcing all of their ingredients from our California farmers, and particularly farmers that participate in our markets. In the real world, that doesn't actually make a lot of financial or business sense, unfortunately, at this point. So we do look at the ingredient sourcing. It is a priority when we are evaluating vendors that are applying to our markets. And we score those that have chosen to or can bear the cost and really are dedicated to that philosophy of sourcing locally and California grown. So, for example, you went to the crepe booth, and by the way, his crepes are amazing.
They're great.
and so he does source some of his vegetables, some of the strawberries when they're in season and when he can get good prices on them so that he can still keep the crepes at an affordable price as well. But then you have other items, like, for example, the crepes. He has bananas in his crepes. Well, bananas aren't largely grown on a commercial basis in California, so he's not going to be sourcing the bananas from a California grower. So it is nuanced when we're evaluating these participants, but we are looking to encourage that. We are looking to showcase the farmers, and we're looking for the vendors that are sourcing from those farmers to really market that to the consumer base.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now, you just mentioned something that intrigued me, the cost. Buying things at most of these farmers' markets is more expensive than if you were to go to the local market, the local supermarket, local food store. And I wonder how that matches up. Is the experience something that people are willing to pay more? For example, you pay $5 for a relatively small box of fruit, of blueberries, blackberries, strawberries, and I don't even know, because I buy all the stuff there. So maybe I'm asking a question that's silly. But I'm guessing it's less expensive to buy them in a grocery store than to buy them. I guess the bottom line is, are people paying for the experience as well as the food and the fruit and stuff that they buy when they come to the market?
That's a really important question and topic that you bring up. There is a broad perception that farmers markets on the balance are more expensive. When we really dig down into the prices, and we've done a price comparison study, which you can find on our website. One of our interns took, I believe it was 16 different commodities from our farmers markets and compared them with the local co-op and a couple of other local stores, bigger chain stores. And I believe she may have even compared them with other farmers markets in the region. Now, some products, yes, are more expensive. Other products you will find when you compare weight to weight, you will find that they appear on the surface to be more expensive, but what you're actually getting is a larger quantity. So I believe, for example, if you look at chard when it's in season, you get these huge bunches of chard at the farmer's market. You go to the grocery store and they're much smaller. So it's not really comparing apples to apples unless you actually weigh the products and put them, you know, side by side for the price per pound or per ounce. So I do think you are right. There are some folks that it is a lifestyle choice, it is an experiential choice, and they are going there for that one-on-one connection with the farmer that you're just not going to get at the grocery store.
No. And then there's the other aspect of cost. Do you, a lot of farmers markets that people are putting together want to know whether they need to charge the farmer a fee in order to have the privilege of selling at the market, because you're promoting, and I want to talk about that as well. But let's talk about the fee first that you charge, or what do you? I don't even know the answer to the question. I'm not a good lawyer because I ask questions to which I do not know the answer in order to get the answers from everybody listening. So do you charge to have the farmers there?
We do, as with any business. You can think of this as sort of like a shopping mall, right? So they're going to charge rent to their tenants. We charge rent to our tenants. And it's a percent-based fee that takes into account it's a percent-based fee that is essentially break-even for the city. We're not making a profit.
Mm-hmm. So what your costs are to put it on, now, does that include the cost of promotion? Because I know that's a very big factor, listing who's there, what you can find. You got a good website. What's in the marketplace? Does it take into account the cost of their being there, all of the expenses?
It does factor in all of the expenses, in fact, and we are extremely blessed to not pay for a lot of marketing. At this point, we use a great deal of social media. You can follow me live every Sunday on Instagram, and I do a market report where I take folks on a tour through the market, and obviously, you know, that kind of platform is free. Mm-hmm. We do teeny paid promotions, you know, a couple of Facebook ads here and there for special events and that sort of thing. But we were blessed early on with a director who had a partnership on radio that was a show called Good Food, and she had a segment there where she did a report from the market live, our Wednesday market, which is the one that is probably the most well-known. And mm-hmm. that got us a lot of notoriety. And so we've just been, you know, writing that for quite some time, and we really don't pay for a lot of marketing. But the cost for the farmers and for the prepared food vendors does go to the city, goes back into the general fund, and, you know, supports our salaries and our benefits and all of the other ancillary costs related to the market, the permitting, the inspections, et cetera.
Yeah. All right, good. We'll continue our focus on how to do a farmer's market with somebody who knows how to do a farmer's market and get it done well. Jody Lowe is here, the director of the Santa Monica Farmer's Markets. If you're interested in eating good foods, that's a kind of a cool thing, eating good food and taking care of yourself. How about a way to keep the weight off? Those of you who are eating maybe too much of some of the good food and you have that little bulge, or maybe you have big bulges and you want to get rid of them, Calitrin is the only natural way to do that in America. Calitrin is an exclusive product, natural, drug-free, stimulant-free. There's nothing else like it on the market, nothing that guarantees you'll lose the weight and keep it off. Go to Calitrin.com and use the code DJV to buy a bottle, or actually buy six. You have the best benefit. Go on the program for 6 months. Each bottle is a one-month supply. Get on that. Stay on it. Get $10 off and use the DJV code and enjoy your success. That's all going to happen by going to Calitrin.com.
I'm Andy Solomon. 5G is here. It's the next generation of wireless network technology, and T-Mobile has the first and only nationwide 5G network. And unlike other wireless providers, T-Mobile is giving 5G access at no extra cost. Tech expert Andrea Smith.
If you're looking to upgrade to a 5G phone, the new Samsung Galaxy S20 flagship devices are here. The S20 Plus and the S20 Ultra are the first smartphones in the U.S. that tap into the full potential of 5G. They're available today at T-Mobile with amazing deals.
These deals are for everyone, even businesses.
Get up to half off the latest Samsung Galaxy smartphones via bill credits with an eligible trade-in, or snag a BOGO offer with bill credits when adding a line. And only T-Mobile includes 5G in all of its plans. That means anyone can get two lines starting at just $90 a month plus tax for T-Mobile Essentials with 5G included.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Our veterans risked it all to protect our freedom. One of the best ways to say thank you is to volunteer to support them. At a time in history where kindness is a virtue, volunteering means a lot. For over 47 years, Help Heal Veterans, a not-for-profit organization, with the support of citizens like you, have delivered therapy kits to veterans who need them. To volunteer or learn more, visit HealVets.org. That's HealVets.org.
Moving along now with Jody Lowe, who is the curator. She's the manager. She's the major domo in charge of the farmers markets in Santa Monica, California. How long have you been doing this, and what was your background? That was another interesting thing. I think pointing out a lot of the people who do, at least the ones around here, come from farm families. What's your background, and how'd you get into doing this?
Yeah, it's definitely a non-traditional line of work, right?
Yes.
So I have been doing the farmers markets in Santa Monica. It's a dream job for me. And I've been working for the city in the markets for nearly 15 years. And wow. It's interesting. The background that I come from is I grew up going to summer camp. And it was one of my favorite experiences ever. I went to summer camp on a farm up in Northern California. And so I learned a lot about farming, and social equity was a focus of that particular camp, and social justice and environmental sustainability. And so that really primed me to, you know, be interested in this line of work. And I ended up getting a degree in environmental studies and political science, and then moved down to Los Angeles for a bit. And was working some various jobs here and there, and a friend of mine said, well, what's your dream job? And at that time, I lived, I don't know, three or four blocks from the farmers market that I manage today, and was a regular customer there. And I said, you know, I really would like to manage that farmers market. And it just embodies everything that I believe in, you know, being outdoors, creating community, a wholesome environment, family, fun, food, environmental sustainability, health, well-being. It's a joy to be there every single weekend and to curate it and to contribute that to the community that I still live in.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you've brought the expertise through experience, through learning, doing it all, and that certainly helps, I think, to make it a more credible experience for everybody who goes there. Again, this is not a rural. This is not even suburban. This is really an urban setting. All of them are downtown. The one that I go to, I was just looking, actually, the LA Times did a guide to farmers markets. And now that I look at the number here, the choices are myriad. You got 5 of them on Monday, 15 Tuesday, 33 farmers markets in LA County every Wednesday, 40 on Thursday, 39 on Friday, 53 on Saturday, and 44 in some place in LA County on Sunday. So people have huge opportunities. And yet, on every corner, you can't swing a dead cat in Santa Monica without hitting a Whole Foods market. And then they, right? I mean, think about it. You were talking about this. Is it up on? Is it California? Where is that? The market. There's a single market, kind of a co-op. I think it's on. I think it's on California. But I've been there a few times, and there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Broadway.
Yeah, is it Broadway? Okay, yeah. At any rate, this is, if you're taking a trip somewhere and you're a farmer and you want to see how this is done, go to L.A. County. It's probably the best place. There are some other good ones in other cities, up and down the West Coast especially, I think in the Mid-Atlantic region. I guess maybe the place or the way to think about it is where there's a lot of good farming and somebody's good at agricultural structuring. Pennsylvania is a good place, New York. In certain areas of New York, they have them. In the Midwest, they're taking, I mean, I think they're becoming more and more a part of life in America. So, once again, thanks, Jody, for being here. Jody Lowe is the manager of the Santa Monica Farmers Markets in California. A great job. It is fun. Bring the family to these things. They are really, it's a great way to teach children about where food really comes from, because it doesn't come from the supermarket. All right, Jody, thanks. Doug Steffen here on this week's American Family Farmer. You're welcome.
The This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
American family farmer Doug Steffen here with my commentary about where we are when it comes to this whole business of marijuana. Well, the connection between marijuana and hemp, something that I've become much more acquainted with in the last year and a half than I ever was before, because, in fact, I have a plan on my farm to pay off the mortgage using cannabis, a cannabis grow. We're going to actually build a 100,000-square-foot canopy to grow marijuana. And we're also going to be growing, or we're going to be harvesting hemp. Farmers all around the state that I live in, Massachusetts, are going to be growing hemp, and we will buy it and process it once the government figures out what the hell is going on. And that really is a problem. The federal government, if you understand farming, the USDA offers insurance to help protect farmers from forces that we have no control over. If it's, insurance is offered by the feds, it becomes a fundamental part of a lot of farming, and it allows you, if you're a farmer, to survive. Certainly, farming is unstable, has very thin margins, very close to the edge always are we who are in the farming business. Hemp is federally legal, but it hasn't been eligible for insurance until now. So now the multi-peril crop insurance, which has been around since the Dust Bowl of the 30s, is, and it's the backbone of the farm safety net, is going to be able to, they're going to put, they've decided they're going to put as they do with soybeans and corn or whatever. When the price goes down, if there's a trade war or something like that, the insurance plan protects with a certain amount of money. It caps it, but at least you won't be losing money. So now the industrial hemp world, the CBD world, and the world of clothing and food and rope and all that stuff, this has been legal since the Farm Bill of 2018. A lot of farmers trying to plant the crop, hoping that they'll be able to find a market for it, but in states like Massachusetts, you can't. So now farmers are hanging back. There's also been a concern over what happens if there's bad weather or the crop gets ruined. So this past week, the USDA announced a couple of programs to correct the problem. In one of the programs, hemp is now available for multi-peril crop insurance. There are some requirements. Applicants have to have at least a year of hemp growing under their belts, and the insurance itself is available. It'll be available only in 21 states, and nobody knows the reason for that. Good God. How the hell the federal government, they come up with these things. Why is it that there are, you know, the lot of the states that do include the hemp insurance, at least are the bigger ones. Kentucky is the number one state in the country, and very interesting that Mitch McConnell, who's the senator from Kentucky, got that into the Farm Bill in 2018, and you may or may not know that his son is the largest grower of hemp in the country. So, gee, I wonder how that happened. This guy's got three different farms, 6,000 acres in each one of them where he's growing hemp. Problem is, now they don't have any place, you know, they're having a hard time because there are no real, in Kentucky, there aren't any producers or there aren't any people who are actually functioning as a purveyor, if you will. You can grow it, but they don't have anybody to then work it. And so now that's why they're hauling a lot of the hemp goes up to Connecticut to be processed. If you don't have any processing facilities, the stuff's at least the oil pockets that are on the hemp. You know, there's two different kinds of hemp. The hemp that's grown for the oil, and then there's another hemp that's grown. They all look the same, but you just have they're different in the way that they're used. The other hemp is for clothing and food and rope and that sort of thing. So that's it's an 8-foot plant usually, about six, seven, eight feet tall, depending on the variety that you get. And then it branches out like a Japanese apple tree and Japanese maple. You know, it just kind of spreads out. But hemp and marijuana look the same. So I've been trying to figure out a way I could grow it on state land that I rent on my farm, and I don't. I thought, okay, this isn't very practical because everybody will think it's marijuana and they'll cut it down and bring it home, and then they'll find out it's not. So I got to put it on private land that's secluded in order to just protect myself from the foolishness that goes on. States like Massachusetts can say, nope, you can't sell anymore. We got to have more guidance in how we prepare this stuff, what you can claim in your advertising. So basically the people who were selling hemp in these stores, these specialized stores, all out of business. And the farmers that were growing it all out of business. So there's got to be some concrete direction in how we handle this for American. This is a great boon for American family farmers if we can get our act together. That's how I view the hemp situation at the moment. I'm Doug Steffen with my comment on this week's American Family Farmer.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.